Hello. So, Rachel, what do you do when to get what you want, you have to do something you really don't want to do? We've all been in that
Get what you
situation.
want.
Like, you want to grant an interview, but they tell you, you know what, you have to give us your questions first. But you really, this is a really important interview. It's one of those really difficult
I make a
questions
compromise.
that could happen or not. Say
I
you're.
say, forget
Well, you
it.
never
No
know.
deal.
Here's the deal. Say you're Serbia, work with me, and
Okay.
you want to be part of the European Union. But to do so, you have to at least tolerate the independence of one of your provinces, Kosovo. Now, you see, Serbia's narrowly reelected pro-Western president, Boris Tadic, this weekend, and he wants to go for the Balkan countries' entry into the EU, something that most Serbs want. However, to do so, Serbia has to deal with the imminent independence of Kosovo. It could declare its autonomy within the next 2 weeks. Now, that is something most Serbs do not want, but the West encourages.
The plot
And there you go.
thickens.
So what's a barely elected president to do? On the phone with us now from Belgrade, Serbia, is Tim Juda, a freelance journalist and author of Kosovo, War and Revenge, and the Serbs, History, Myth, and the Destruction of Yugoslavia. Hi, Tim.
Hello there.
So just to be clear, the reelected president, as well as his staunchly nationalist rival in that election, they both oppose Kosovo's independence. Can you explain why?
Well, Serbs regard Kosovo as the so-called cradle of their civilization, and it's full of Serbian churches and monasteries and historical monuments. But part of the problem is that over the last few hundred years, the demographics of Kosovo have changed, and now Serbs account for perhaps 5% of the population of Kosovo, and the rest of the population is, well, 90% are ethnic Albanians and who have long demanded independence.
So the president, the gentleman who was elected over the weekend, re-elected Tadic, was it his pro-West leanings that gave him the edge?
Well, I think that that's part of it, but he was also supported by the ethnic minorities in Serbia. I think that made a big difference. Ethnic Hungarians and Bosniaks, also known as Bosnian Muslims, who live in the southern part of Serbia. You know, that certainly tipped the balance because the party of his opponent was a party which was very much associated with the wars of the 1990s and
Sure.
militias and. Certainly, minorities in this country didn't want to see him as a president. But I think it was still a very slim majority, just over 100,000 votes in it. So not too much in it there.
So when you look at the struggle that he has before him, what does he have to negotiate in terms of setting up Serbia to be included in the EU, yet maintaining the stance that no, we don't think Kosovo should be independent?
Well, I mean, when Kosovo declares independence, Serbia simply won't recognize it. I mean, you know, there are other countries in the world which are, you know, in odd situations, for example, Taiwan. But, you know, that's not the point. I mean, the point really is, we know how Serbia is going to or would react to Kosovo's independence. And the kind of ideological split here is whether Serbia, as Mr. Tadic wants, will say, we don't recognize the independence of Kosovo, but we still have to continue with European integration. And the prime minister and his opponent in the presidential elections from a different party, who are effectively saying, no, if Kosovo's independent, if the European Union sends a mission there to effectively to replace the UN mission which is currently in Kosovo, then we don't want to have anything to do with European integration, and we're going to stop we're going to stop moving towards the EU. So it's a question of reacting to independence and what to do about it.
In terms of Kosovo's independence, I understand you have different countries lining up on different sides. Moscow does not think this is such a good idea. Why not?
Well, because the Russians have several reasons. They say that it would be illegal under international law. And what they point to is that they say, look, the Soviet Union and Yugoslavia broke up into their constituent republics, and the borders didn't change. But Kosovo was not a republic of the former Yugoslavia. It was a province of Serbia. they're looking to the future of Russia itself and worrying that areas like Chechnya or Tatarstan or other areas which one day, you know, might demand independence, or in Chechnya's case, demand independence again, they're worried about the precedent there. So that's part of it. And another part, of course, is that they, you know, Kosovo is a useful way to try, what they wanted to do was to try and divide the EU using the issue of Kosovo, and it's just sort of one of a list of things, you know, that they're in dispute about or can be made useful in a dispute with the West in general, ranging from the missile shield to energy politics.
Now, Serbia's prime minister denounced plans today to sign a political accord with the European Union. They described it as a trick to try to trap the former Yugoslav Republic into accepting the independence of a breakaway Kosovo. So with your prime minister saying things like this, and you have this narrowly elected president saying these things, and then you also have all these Serbs who want to be part of the European Union, what's the next step?
Well, you know, that is the $64,000 question, and that's what everybody wants to know here, because what Mr. Koshinitz, what the Prime Minister has said and done, you know, today, means that we could be heading into a crisis now. The government could collapse. There could be a new government. We could have new elections. Or this crisis, somehow some sort of agreement will be made, and we'll find a way out of this crisis. But the answer is we don't know, because nobody here knows, and this battle is has only just been joined.
Well, let's talk about timeline in our last question. When is the soonest that Kosovo will declare independence, and would it be economically and socially and politically viable that day?
Well, the best guess is the 17th of February, but I mean, it could change. It could really be any time really between now and sometime in March. Nobody really knows. But as I say, the 17th is the best guess. And lots of Kosovo Albanians reckon it's going to be on the 17th. I've heard that a lot of the flights into Pristina, its capital, mm-hmm. Are all booked up in the days before, because those of Kosovo Albanians living abroad want to be home. When it comes to the economy, yes, the economy is a poor place, but it's been supported over the last 8 years or so by the EU and by others, and it will continue to be supported.
Well, Tim and Judah, perhaps we'll check back with you in the next 2 weeks or so. We appreciate you walking us through this.
Stay with us. Coming up, Polar Law and King Cakes. Ah, classic BPP pairing. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.